54 years before the birth of Christ, at the end of a cold, star-filled spring night, a crowd of 200 people stood in a semicircle by the bank of the river and waited for the dawn. 10 days had passed since the ominous news had come. In front of them, at the water's edge, was a smaller group of 5 figures. Silent and still, in their long grey robes, they might have been taken for so many standing stones. These were the Druids, and they were about to perform a ceremony which it was hoped would save the island and their world. Amongst those gathered by the riverbank were 3 people, each of whom, whatever hopes or fears they may have had concerning the threat ahead, guarded a personal and terrible secret. One was a boy, the second a woman, the third a very old man. There were many sacred sites along the lengthy course of the river, but nowhere was the spirit of the great river so clearly present than at this quiet place. Here, sea and river met. Downstream, in a series of huge loops, the ever-widening flow passed through open marshland, until about 10 miles away, it finally opened out into the long eastward funnel of the estuary and out to the cold North Sea. Upstream, the river meandered delightfully between pleasant woods and lush, level meadows. But at this point, between 2 of the river's great bends, lay a most gracious stretch of water, 2.5 miles long, where the river flowed eastwards in a single, majestic sweep. It was tidal. At high tide, when the incoming sea in the estuary reversed the current, this river road was 1,000 yards across. At low tide, only 300. In the center, halfway along the southern bank where the marshes formed little islands, a single gravel spit jutted out into the stream, forming a promontory at low water, and becoming an island when the tide was high. It was on the top of this spit that the little crowd was standing. Opposite them, on the northern bank, lay the place now deserted that bore the name of Lundinos. Lundinos. Even now, in the dawning light, the shape of the ancient place could be seen clearly across the water. 2 low gravel hills with leveled tops, rising side by side, about 80 feet above the waterfront. Between the 2 hills ran a little brook. To the left, on the western flank, a larger stream descended to a broad inlet that interrupted the northern bank. On the eastern side of the 2 hills, there had once been a small hill fort, whose low earthwork wall, now empty, could serve as a lookout post for vessels approaching from the estuary. The western hill was sometimes used by the Druids when they sacrificed oxen. And that was all there was, an abandoned settlement, a sacred spot. The tribal centers were to the north and south. The tribes over whom the great chief Cassivellaunus was master lived in the huge eastern tracts above the estuary. The tribe of Canti, in the long peninsula south of the estuary, had already given that region the name of Kent. The river was a border between them, Lundinos, a sort of no man's land. The very name was obscure. Some said that a man called Lundinos had lived there. Others suggested that it might refer to the little earthwork on the eastern hill. But nobody knew. Somehow, in the last 1,000 years, the place had got the name.